You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
Did you ever play the game Hot Potato as a kid? The trick was to get the ball out of your hands as quickly as possible. Welcome to Through the Bible, and we're early in our study of the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, where the Philistines play a bit of hot potato with the Ark of the Covenant. They captured it, thinking it was a good luck charm, but it brought them nothing but harm, and they soon wanted to give it back to Israel. It would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 6 today. As you get settled in your seat on the Bible bus, here's a great letter from Sandy in Pulaski, Virginia. "I'm a 30-year-old mail carrier," she writes. "I discovered Through the Bible one day while driving on my route. I was turning the channel and heard Dr. J. Vernon McGee speaking. His voice caught my attention, so I decided to keep listening and have ever since. Every day at 10 o'clock as I work, I faithfully listen to Dr. McGee preach to me about the Bible, and it is such a blessing. Thank you. As a child, my parents didn't take me to church or tell me much about Jesus. I have a 6-year-old son to whom I read and teach the Bible every night, and most importantly, tell him about Jesus Christ. You see, I love him and want to raise him right, and to me, teaching him about Jesus is the right way. Thank you again, and please pray for us." Yes, let's pray for everyone who's listening, who has got a real hunger to know more about Jesus and then share it with their family members. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and the way that it draws the hungry heart to truth that satisfies. Would you bless now the teaching of your word as it's delivered around the world? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, last time we left off at the conclusion of chapter 5, where the Philistines, having captured the Ark of the Covenant, which Israel very foolishly took into battle, expecting that there was some superstitious value in having the box along. But it wasn't in the box. The value is in the presence and person of God. You see, even in that day when they had a holy place, it can't be holy because of the articles there. It's holy because of the presence of the one who is holy. And so we find that the Philistines captured it, apparently very eager to get it. And when they got it, they had something on their hands they couldn't dispose of, and they wanted to get rid of it. And so we find in chapter 6 now, verse 1, and I shall begin reading here, "And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Again, I don't want to be irreverent, but it was like having a hot potato. One city had it, Gath, and they didn't want it. The idol of Dagon fell over. Just the stump of the idol is left there. And that's not a very satisfactory place to worship, just the stump of an idol. An idol's bad enough. Then we find that Gath sent it over to Ekron, and Ekron, they've got something on their hands, and they'd like to get rid of it. We are told now in verse 2, "And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to its place." They said, "We'd like to get rid of it. We'd like to return it, but how shall we do it?" And they said, "If you send away the ark of God of Israel, send it not empty." And so they were to send an offering, and they put on it that which speaks of the vileness of the worship of these people, the Philistines. Great many people wonder why God put them out of that land. It was His land. It was right on the crossroads of the world. And any people there would influence the people of the world. And God put them out because of the vileness of their worship. They had turned from Him, and they'd had an opportunity to turn to Him. Now, we're told here they sent along here 5 golden emeralds, hemorrhoids, if you please, and 5 golden mice. Now, they send back with it these that are tokens of the vileness of their worship. And I'm not about to go into any detail on radio today relative to how vile both of these were. And so they send it back, and they did this in verse 11. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emeralds. My, how vile can you be? And the kine, the cattle, took the straight way to the path of Beth Shemesh. They took it to the border, and I imagine they put a lash on the back of the kine, and they sent it down the road back into the land of Israel. And we find that, verse 13, they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Well, what is it? Well, it's a box. That's all it ever was. But it was there in the holy place where God met the people. But he's not meeting them there now. They've turned from him. And we're told in verse 14, and the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. They wouldn't accept anything, you see, for themselves from the Philistines. Of course, they're to be commended for that. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was on it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on a great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. They saw that the ark was received back, and they were glad to get it off of their hands. Now, the very interesting thing is that these things that the people of Israel did now reveals again that they're still far from God. And God put a judgment upon the men of Beth Shemesh. Why? Let me read verse 18. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both the fenced cities of country villages, even under the great stone of Abel, whereunto they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua, the Beth Shemite. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,310 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who's able to stand before this holy Lord God? And whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. Now, when it returns back to Israel, they are having their problems with it. And they are doing that which God had strictly forbidden, that the ark was to be seen only by the high priest, and he entered only once a year. He put the cover down on it. Now, this is strict disobedience of these people to God. It's not that they looked in the ark and saw something. That's not the point. They are definitely disobeying God in a very definite way. And it reveals the fact, they say now that God brings judgment, they're superstitious. They said, we want to get rid of the ark, and they sent up and said, you come get it. In other words, Israel is not ready to receive the ark. The fact of the matter is, they want to transfer it up to Kirjath-Jearim because the people of Israel are not yet prepared to return to God. This is very important for us to see. They're not ready to turn to God at all. Now that brings us to chapter 7. Now notice what happens. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came, fetched up the ark of the Lord. They brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar's son to keep the ark of the Lord. Now, how long was it there? Listen to this. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Now, after 20 years, the people begin to turn to God. They begin to turn from Balaam and Ashtaroth to serve the living God. Now, notice, it took them 20 years to come to the place where they wanted God, wanted to turn to God. And here we see that at this time 20 years the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Now, this is the beginning, actually, of Samuel's great ministry. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he'll deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. You see, they were in idolatry, friends. They had turned from the living and true God, and they were being defeated one battle after another until it was becoming old hat to them, and they were very much discouraged. Now they were beginning to lament after the Lord. Oh, we need to get back to the Lord. Maybe today there is a heart hunger in the hearts of many of God's people of saying we're tired of eating the husks that the pigs eat in the far country. We want to get back to the Father's house, and we have to come through the door of the Word of God. I hope that's true. I'd like to believe that it is true. Now we read in verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I'll pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, there we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. So what we have here, actually, is Samuel a prophet, and Samuel is also the judge of the nation Israel. Now, we find here Israel turning from Balaam and Ashtaroth. They're turning back to God, and this man Samuel is praying for them. And they confess their sins. That's the way back for God's people. I don't think there's any other way back. I hear all of the methods today that if we do this and we do the other thing, God will bless. Well, let's just put it right down in bold letters and tell it like it is. What God's people need to do is to go to God in confession of their sins, and they need to see themselves in the light of the Word of God. And if we see ourselves, we see that we've come short of the glory of God, and we then can find out the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will just keep on cleansing us from all sin, and we can go in confession. Now, will you notice in verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-car. Now, God gives them a victory, and this is the first victory that they have had in a long, long time, by the way. And now God gives them that victory. And by the way, it's a great victory that God has given to them at this particular time. These people have lapsed into idolatry. They were in sullen rebellion. They began to turn to God. And Samuel exacted a confession and promised to return to God. Now the result, God gave Israel a signal victory over the Philistines. Now will you notice, verse 12. Now this is a very important verse, by the way. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen. He called the name of it Ebenezer. Now that means a stone of help, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now this is a very interesting stone. I look at it as a stone of remembrance. It looked back to the past. It was a stone of recognition, a stone for the present, and it was a stone of revelation, a stone for the future. Hitherto, up to this point, up to right now, God has helped us. And it's always customary for us to look back over the past. Remember, the Lord said through Paul to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, has God brought you up to this point? Is he leading you today? Is he guiding you today? Is he brought you up to this moment? Well, if he has, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. He's brought us up to this point. Well, he's going to continue to do that. And someone has said that memory plays upon the keyboard of the past. And you can retrace your footsteps. And God's given us memories that we can have roses in December. Memory plays on the keyboard of the past. And when it does, I'm sure all of us can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But it's not only that, but that was a stone of recognition. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Oh, Joshua could say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, David says, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I want to say so. Oh, the Lord is good, friends. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord has helped us. And right now, even now, he's the one that's helping us. A businessman said some time ago, he says, you know, the use of time might be likened to the terminology of banking. He says, yesterday's a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. But today is cash, so spend it wisely. A stone of recognition. Are you recognizing God today in your life? That's what Samuel meant by that Ebenezer stone. It was a stone of revelation, not only hitherto, but henceforth. The Lord is my shepherd. David says, I shall not want. He looked into the future, and someone has said, I am very interested in the future because I expect to spend the rest of my life in the future. And I want to be reasonably sure of what kind of a future it's going to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All things do work together for good to those that love God. Dr. Torrey always said that Romans 8:28 was a soft pillow for a tired heart. It's a stone of revelation. It looks into the future, and it was that for the nation Israel. And you can just put this stone down in the history of the nation Israel, for it's written on this stone. You can also put it down in, I think, your life. You can mine. And we need an Ebenezer stone today. And I trust that you have one in your life and that I have one in my life today. Now, let's continue to move on. Verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And very frankly, this, I think, can be said to be the time, and from here on, that the Philistines never were again as dominant and formidable as they were before this battle. That's actually how significant it was. And this stone now stands in memory. Actually, it was only about 3 or 4 miles north by northwest of Jerusalem, actually in sight of the city. Now, will you notice verse 15 of 1 Samuel 7? And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. This is the story. He is a prophet. He's a judge of Israel. And he went from year to year in circuit. He was a circuit judge to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And you'll notice it's in an area right north of Jerusalem. And he judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Now, when we come here to chapter 8, we've come to a new section, actually, and I've written over this section, in fact, the rest of these two books of Samuel, Hosea 13:11. And this is the language of Hosea 13:11. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. Now, Samuel, again, a great judge, a great man of God, and he was brought up there at the temple where he could see the foolishness of the sons of Eli, and that God cut them off. And yet, notice what he does now in chapter 8. It came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, this was his mistake. He made his own sons judges to succeed him, and they were wholly unworthy and totally incompetent to do that. Samuel was a great judge. He was a wonderful prophet and a great man of God, but he was sure a failure as a father, just as Eli had been. Now, let me read. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. These are his sons now. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. They were totally dishonest. Strange, isn't it? Today we have seen so much of that. Several pastors have talked to me about why is it that you see a godly family in your church, a godly man, godly woman, and then a son or daughter comes along and becomes immoral or goes on drugs, and you can't find any explanation for it. Well, Samuel was a great man, God's man, but notice his sons, what they did. Then we're told in verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel under Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now they asked for a king to make them like all the nations that are round about them. And Israel now, and they had a reason for it, they demanded a king, and they rejected God and Samuel. Israel was, of course, influenced by the surrounding nations to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Now notice God's answer to this man. He says to him, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. It was the rejection of God now. And we find here that it does go back to the fact Samuel made his sons judges, and it gave these people an excuse. But God lets him know that it's because they've actually rejected God. That is the real explanation. And they still want a king, verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people. He rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. Now they're going to get, by the way, a king. Again, as it was true in the days of Moses, he granted their requests, but he sent leanness unto their souls. We'll pick up there next time where Saul is made king. Until then, may God richly bless you.
What a powerful lesson. How much better to let God decide what's best for us, to give or withhold whatever he deems best. You know, it's not always easy, but he knows how to give good gifts to his children. I'd say let's let him. If you'd like, you can listen to this lesson again online at ttb.org or on a variety of different outlets, including by app or by podcast. Find the one that works best for you at ttb.org/listen. Another great option is our Bible Bus flash drive. It contains all of Dr. McGee's five-year messages, more than 100 of his digital booklets, and all of his notes and outlines. You can listen at your own pace, to your own choice of book study. Check it out anytime in the resources section of ttb.org, or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. Well, the Bible Bus continues our journey next time in the book of 1 Samuel. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here waiting to walk with you in God's Word.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Once again, our radio ministers and preachers and all those out there in Radio Land, I pray for you this morning that the power of God will move in your life as a child of God. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners this morning. Father, once again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of those that have tuned into the broadcast. And Lord, that you would give me divine unction and utterance of the Holy Spirit, that I will speak the word of God boldly to all that tune into the broadcast. I ask your blessings to be upon the hearers, even the doers, those that do not even trust in you. I pray for them this morning that the power of the Holy Spirit will reach their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today. And the subject that we will be expounding on is being in Christ. Being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a church building, not in some organization, but in Christ. And we want to look at what the Word of God says today. And if you have your Bible, or perhaps if you're near where you can have a pad and pen, I would pray that you would jot down these verses of scripture there so that you can relate to them at a later time. Because the most important thing is being in Christ, not in some building or perhaps part of some organization, but in Christ. Now, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is most important. And if you have your pen, underline that, in Christ. If therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, we are new species. We are a new creation. And the Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Being in Christ is very vital and most important, because the only way we can get back home is being in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we must be in him in order to get back home. And I pray today that all out there in Radio Land, that if you want to get back home, you have to be in Christ, not in some building or organization. And I want to just reiterate that, because, first of all, a lot of folks are in churches, in local assemblies, but they are not in Christ. And the most important thing is to be in Christ. The Word of God tells us that this is a preposition that is used quite frequently, and most important, because in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, and by Christ is all that we have. Praise God. So in Christ. So Paul was telling the church of Corinth there, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God sees us as if we have never sinned. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? He sees us as if we never sinned. Because we are in Christ. Our spirit that once was dead has now been made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into our spirit, glory to God, and brought forth regeneration, glory to God, hallelujah. And that made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Minister Glory, I would like for you to kind of, you know, we'll play tag team here this morning, glory to God, concerning in Christ, because the most important thing is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Apostle Paul was telling us when we are in Christ that we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are more than a conqueror.
That loved us. And that's Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
You see, everything is in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and for Christ. Glory to God. So Paul is telling you that he said, nay, in all these things, that we are more than a conqueror. We're not just conquerors. We are more than a conqueror, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us or the ability that we have to try and conquer situations and circumstances. No, he says that if we are in Christ, glory to God, that we are more than conquerors through him. I said through him. Underline that word, through him. Praise God. Through him that loved us. Jesus loved us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you today that when we continue to look at these prepositions and see exactly what transpired concerning being in Christ, most important, praise God, that we have what Jesus has afforded for us all through and by what took place there on that old rugged cross. Glory to God. So first of all, being in Christ, you're a new creature. Second of all, we, by being in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that loved us and gave himself for us.
Amen.
That's very powerful. And mm-hmm. when we look at what's going on there, we give God all the praise and honor and glory, because it is he and he alone that's able to make the difference in all of our lives. Let's look at another verse of scripture, because what we're doing is scripturalizing everything that we are talking about concerning what in Christ means.
Amen.
Many people fail to understand. They say, well, I go to church there. Yeah. And every time the doors are open, I'm there and I fellowship and so forth. But the question is, are you in Christ? That's the most important thing. Are you in Christ? You can be in the building and not be in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've used another verse of scripture there concerning, what is it?
1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, Antichrist spirits.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Praise God. You are of God, little children, and you've overcame them. Because greater is he that is in you. Well, who's on the inside of you? We can be everywhere. Praise God. Doesn't matter where it is. But do you have the greater witness residing on the inside of you? The scripture tells us greater. Not just great, but greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Praise God. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father, sent back the Holy Spirit to take up residence on the inside of us as children of God. Praise God. Greater. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, greater.
Greater.
Is he that is in us, in me, than he that is in the world. Well, we know who's in the world. The devil is in the world. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, because our bodies have become the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So greater is he that is in you, or in me, than he that is in the world.
Praise God.
Or perhaps the greater witness resides on the inside of us, according to what the word of God says, I believe it, praise the Lord, than he that is coming up against us.
Amen.
And that's the forces of the devil out there in Radio Land. So the greater witness is on the inside of us as children of God. Praise the Lord. We have that power. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 20, the word of God tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. If you are in Christ, you have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. And we know all things. This is why we must be in Christ in order to accomplish everything that God has afforded for us to have as a child of God.
Amen.
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 In Christ.
In Christ. Everything is in Christ.
Glory to God.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
in the anointed one.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise his wonderful name.
I know, so, in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Not myself, but in Christ, he strengthens me to do.
Amen. See, when we have Jesus part of the equation, then we have the capacity and the ability to accomplish whatever it is that needed to be done according to the will of God. What does the scripture say? Paul says in Philippians, he said, I can do all things. Many people today, they say, well, yeah, I can do all things. But see, they leave out Jesus. And once you leave out Jesus, it's not going to happen at all. He must be part of the equation. I can do all things. I said all things through him that loveth, through him that strengthens us, through him that gives us the ability to do the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
See, through Christ.
It's through Christ.
And that strengthens us.
That strengthens us.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So what it is that in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. You see, it's all those things that makes it possible for us to accomplish the work that God has called us all to do out there in Radio Land. And
yes,
even behind this microphone here this morning, we must constantly and continually believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is in him. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is why we lift him up. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. We dare not take any credit for anything because we have no ability or strength to accomplish anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, you remember in St. John 15 and verse 5, I think somewhere in that vicinity there, mm-hmm, Jesus said, well, yeah, without me, you can do nothing.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing means not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't able to do anything
right
without the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's amen.
Our dependency is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you're trusting in anything or anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have set yourself up for failure and perhaps a disaster situation. Jesus, somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the one, glory to God.
He is the one.
And we are in him. When you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, then what happened is that when you receive him, you have everything that you need to walk this Christian journey. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need everything.
Everything.
And you have everything.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the equation of the one that is able to meet every need that we have as children of God. Don't depend on man. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You mentioned victory, Lord Pastor.
Praise
and,
God.
1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, that's what it is. Christ has to be in everything that we're doing. Otherwise, he said that without him, you can do nothing. So, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory,
mm-hmm,
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again. Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
But,
isn't that something?
But the Lord wants us to stay steadfast, though.
Yes.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you today that it is in Christ that we have the victory. Not in ourselves, but yep, in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We thank God for that. I want to just kind of tell you out there in Radio Land that because of who he is,
mm-hmm,
we can face tomorrow,
yes,
because we are in him.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He paid it all.
Paid it all.
He done it all.
He has.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at another verse of scripture here, because we're talking about being in Christ. And first of all, the most important thing is we look at what the word says. Now in Colossians 2 in verse 9, I want to just let you know for a moment here that the word tells us that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
I want to say that again. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Praise
all
the Lord.
Three are one. In him lives the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now we've asked him to come into our lives. So that next verse tells us what, Minister Glory?
And you are complete, glory to God, in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
So in him, here's the preposition in, in him. So first of all, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then the 10th verse there, Colossians 2 and verse 10, tells us that we are complete.
In him.
In him. In Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing lacking by being in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I tell you, being in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ. In him we live.
Yes.
And move and have our mere existence or our being. Praise God. In Christ. I tell you, I wonder why people feel that they can do something outside of Christ and expect victory. No, this thing is not about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And everything that he has done for us. It was Jesus that suffered the wrath of God for you. God looked at him on that cross. But let me tell you something. When he was on that cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? When he was on that cross, I was on his mind. Thank God that I've been given the opportunity to look at what he's done. Receive him into my heart.
Yes.
Give him all the praise. Well, you know, Minister Glory, first of all, we talk about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we look at the word of God, God is already exalting him.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Philippians 2, let's look at what it says in verse 8 and 9 and thereafter. Praise God. Because Jesus has already been exalted. Not just exalted, but highly exalted.
That's right. Amen.
And we are in him.
Right.
Glory to God.
It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and then things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
According to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Praise the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are in him.
Yes.
That positionally speaking, we know who we are and that we know whose we are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And you know who you are, and you know whose you are. You know the victory that's been won for you, and you know who's done it. Praise God. And you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise God.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty God that we serve.
Yes, we
praise
do.
God. You know, when he was on that cross, we were on his mind.
Yes.
He went there to take the wrath of God for us all. He is our substitute.
Yes.
Can you imagine for a moment, what would it look like for me going to a cross to do what? You can't die for nobody.
No, only Jesus.
It took one that had no sin.
That's right.
To die for the sins of the world. Amen. And I mean him, praise God.
And that's the whole world.
Yes. Each and every day, I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for being in you. My faith is in you, not my circumstances or situations that's going on in and around my life. I am in you.
Amen.
And you are in me. And the Father, We are in us all. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what now, if we are in Christ, what has Christ done for us? Praise God.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
He has redeemed us. Let's look at what does the scripture says here, because we want folks out there in Radio Land to follow us from a scriptural standpoint. You can look at what we're talking about. We're not sitting here making up something. We want you to follow what we're saying scripturally. Praise God. Now, Minister Glory, you said that Christ.
Yes, Galatians 3 and 13.
Glory to God.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
This is why, you see, we want to walk in the things that Christ has done. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
Yes.
See, the curse of the law. And we know that the curse of the law was, poverty is a curse.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you, poverty is a curse, mm-hmm. because the Word of God tells us that he who was rich became poor that we might be made rich. Let me tell you something here. The curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, if you go back and look at that, you see all the curses there, and the curses came upon those that failed to operate, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord, God Almighty, mm-hmm. Lord thy God, praise God, and to do that which is right and pleasing in his sight. Mm-hmm. So Christ has redeemed. We're redeemed through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, curses is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, he hung there on the tree so that I could be blessed. Amen. I'm blessed. Glory to God.
That's right.
I said, I'm blessed in Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not blessed in my own ability or strength. Uh-huh. I'm blessed in Christ, that's in right. the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been accepted in the Beloved.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Yeah. You've been accepted.
That's what it says in Ephesians 1 and 3. He says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Ooh, glory with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ.
Glory to God. So the blessings is in Christ.
Amen. Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord Jesus. And look at, we want to go back to Galatians 3 and 13 for a moment, mm-hmm. because he said that he redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Uh-huh.
For it is written, curses anyone that hangeth on the tree.
Yes.
But he said in the next verse that the blessings of Abraham come on the Gentiles by faith. Praise
through
God.
Jesus Christ. Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God. So you all out there in Radio Land, if you're in Christ, you are blessed. Don't
Amen.
Let anyone tell you anything different. You are blessed
Amen.
Because you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings are, in Christ.
That's right.
There are folks out there walking around today that are not in Christ. They are out of Christ. They have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So let me tell you something. They have natural life, but they don't have eternal life. And to have eternal life, you must be in Christ.
Right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You must have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise,
hallelujah.
Praise
I tell you, I feel like shouting right
well,
now.
Go right ahead.
Because of what? Well, we can't shout. I'm trying to teach you. Praise God. So I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let him use me in the capacity in which he desires. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you feel like doing things. But see, it's got nothing to do with the feelings. It's how the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
The moving of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, and by being in Christ, you know, Ephesians 2, glory to God. And in verse 6 there, let's look at that for a moment, Minister Glory, because what is happening is that by being in Christ,
yes,
we've been made to sit together with him.
That's right.
I want you to read that. Glory to God. Ephesians 2 verse 6.
And it has raised us up together.
Good God Almighty. Has raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
Wait a minute. Has raised us up together. He didn't ask us. He made us.
Amen.
It's so important to be in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He has made us to sit together in Christ in heavenly place.
Yes.
Where are you sitting today? Are you in some building? Or are you sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Glory
now, we're
God.
Speaking from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
Now, don't get carnal on me because the word of God is clear. Glory to his wonderful name.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to let you know today, glory to God, our time has slipped away here.
Mm-hmm.
But the word has not slipped.
Nope. Has not.
We're out of time, but we're not out of the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because
Hallelujah.
The word is all powerful.
That's right.
And it's in our heart.
Amen.
I praise God, give him all the glory, and mm-hmm. minister glory for the little few minutes that, times that we have.
Amen.
I want you to just offer that and extend that plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. Glory to God to everybody out there. Mm-hmm. We don't know who's saved out there, who's tuned into the broadcast,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus know.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
yes, Lord,
the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever, that's so whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you in the closing seconds here that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to receive Jesus and be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We pray for you out there in Radio Land, and God bless you all. Unto the next broadcast is our prayer.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.